Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real-life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at ritaschulte.com. That's S-C-H-U-L-T-E.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart. Today we're continuing our discussion with Dr. Gary Oliver about how to face incredible obstacles in life and still experience profound joy. If that sounds impossible to you, then sit tight and stay tuned, because Dr. Oliver's story isn't just psychobabble. It's about fighting the battle for your life and for your heart in the midst of suffering. Choosing joy doesn't eliminate sorrow. Choosing joy isn't ignoring pain. It involves choosing faith focus over fear focus, choosing a promise focus over a problem focus. And I love that.
You know, I don't want to sound trite or glib, but after 6 cancer surgeries and 7 diagnoses of cancer and burying 4 loved ones in 4 years, I think I have a position to say some things and make some observations. And I've not ignored pain. I've not denied pain. I live with the losses of my life every single day. It's like having a part of you amputated, but it's inside of you so nobody can see it. And so on the outside, you look fine. But on the inside, the losses of your life make a very real difference. And at the same time, they don't have to determine our present or our future. They don't have to determine how we respond. And so in the midst of this darkness, I say, well, God, either sovereign or you're not. Either I can trust him or I can't. Either he's just a promise maker, or he's also a promise keeper. And as I counted my blessings, as I chose to Colossians, what was it, 3:1-2, set your mind on, no, I'm sorry, Ephesians 5:1-2, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. As I chose to claim the promises, what I found was, in the midst of the tears, in the midst of the darkness, I had this almost inexplicable sense of God's presence and even a joy.
So you made an intentional and deliberate effort to be grateful, is what I'm hearing you say.
Oh yes. At some point, you have to make the decision. I can either have a pity party. Mm-hmm. I can wallow in what's happened to me. And, I can let that define me. And if so, I have no hope. I mean... At some point, we all make choices. Or I can acknowledge my pain. I can acknowledge my grief. I can weep. I can be weary. I can mourn. And I can put that in the bigger picture of who God is, of what he's promised, of what I know to be true. And perspective makes all the difference in the world.
You know, you said something really powerful in an article you wrote for AACC. It's not how long I live, but how well I live. And that's something we can all choose about, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I mean, I can't count the people that I've worked with who died 5 or 10 years ago. They have little hope. They're angry. They're bitter. They don't have intimate relations. People can't trust them. They rain on everybody's parade. And at some point, that's a choice. If anybody has an excuse to be bitter and resentful and angry at God, I've got a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm a strong person or a brave person. I guess I just don't enjoy being miserable. And I said, well, God, if all this is real, and I believe it is, if all this is real, I'm going to prove it. And, you know, by God's grace, I have, because I've discovered, and, you know, our listeners will too. I don't care how deep or dark the valley is. Most of our listeners will never experience the breadth and depth of personal and relational losses that I have. Most never will. But even if that happens, I discover that God's promises are more powerful than Satan's pessimism.
Yeah, or Satan's lies.
Yeah, because Satan is a thief, a liar, a robber. He wants to distort our perspective. And, you know, if I was to walk the edge of the Grand Canyon, and let's just say I was reading a book. So I walked the edge of the Grand Canyon. I put this book in front of my face. That book, at that point, becomes larger than the entire Grand Canyon, okay, mm-hmm. from my perspective. If I hold the book out arm's length, I can see it's just a book. That's a normal-sized book. So our perspective, in some ways, determines everything else. And if I focus and dwell on my problems, on the crisis, on my losses, then that's all I'll see. But with God's help, I can put those losses in perspective. And do I still hurt? Yeah. Am I still sad? Sometimes, yes. Do I miss my loved ones? No question. Do I enjoy talking funny? No. Okay. But you know what? I have so much to be thankful for. And I see with different eyes. I feel with a different heart. I value relationships in ways that I didn't before. I've got a lot to be thankful for.
Well, it's probably that tenacious spirit that you have, you know, that made you so determined. I mean, here you are, a speaker, you know, you speak, you know, all over the country. You've written all these books. You've established counseling centers. You've done all this stuff. And to be told you'd never speak again, I mean, that's devastating. But here you have this tenacious spirit. So do you think that made you more determined to fight?
Well, in part it did. But you know what? I didn't always have a tenacious spirit. I think what happened was the more I trusted God, the more I chose to count my blessings a bit, the more I refused to allow my losses to determine my reality, the more strength I had. I mean, you know, you know that passage of joy, the Lord is our strength. The more I allowed myself to experience God's joy, and I was aware of His presence, the more determined I got.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say it just happened, but it kind of just happened. That strength, that power grew because I didn't have it. I mean, I was wiped out. I'll tell you, after that one surgery and chemotherapy and I couldn't walk, I couldn't eat. I remember when I took my first step up a set of stairs, they only let me take one step, you know, in my rehab process. And but I found that I had the manna, or I had the strength that day to do what I needed to do that day. That God's mercies are new every morning. And that's not just a nice little verse somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, that's true. And think about this, okay? You know, as a public speaker, when I first tried to speak, of course, I couldn't understand myself. And my wife couldn't. But finally, I understood some words. And finally, a few of my friends talked me into trying to talk on the phone. Well, they couldn't understand much at all of what I said. But after a while, I got where I could speak some of it. But I sounded a lot like Elmer Fudd, you know. And
did you have a speech therapist or what?
No, because when you take 80% of your tongue, speech therapy, there's no tongue for them to help you learn how to form. You know, you're supposed to put your tongue in the front of your mouth, the back of your mouth, the eyes. Don't have much of a tongue to put anywhere.
So you just taught yourself.
Oh yeah, I stood in front of a mirror for hours. And there were times, honestly, when I would stop because I was in tears at how stupid I sounded. And the first time I spoke was at a national conference, and I tried to back out. It was at an AACC conference. And I said, you know, I don't want to make a total fool. I mean, I'll make a partial fool out of myself.
But not a total. You
know, not a total one. And I said, no one wants to hear Elmer Fudd. But the leadership of AACC said, Gary, we can understand you. There are people who love you, and you've got a message. And so I went to my seminar, and by God's grace, it was packed out. And I gave my talk, I think it was on anger. And at the end, it was a standing ovation. And I got a number of emails. In fact, one guy said, Dr. Oliver, I've listened to you and been taught by you for 15 or 20 years now. And he said, in some ways, he said, you're speaking clearer than you ever have.
Wow.
And your message has as much, if not more, power than it ever has. And as I thought as I went home, you know, my grace is sufficient. God can cause all things to work together for good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or think. Those aren't just words. Those
you've
are
lived
promises.
Them. Yeah, you've lived them, Gary. You've walked it. Let me ask you this. Go back to the four things you learned to practice sovereign joy. I love that whole piece you did on the sovereign joy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I learned this in the middle of the valley. I didn't come out the other end with everything happy and rosy. And, you know, I mean, in the middle of the darkness, as I stumbled along, God taught me four choices. Number one, and I mentioned some of these earlier, but number one, choose to set your mind on things above. And that's a choice, you know. Because what happens, Satan plants fear in our heart, and fear victimizes us, fear can paralyze us, fear can control many of our thoughts and our decisions. Step two, choose to count your blessings and be thankful. What are things in your life that you haven't thanked God for, you take for granted? Maybe some friendships, some relationships. For some, it's your marriage, it's your family, it's your kids, that you can walk. Do you have toes and fingers?
So, Gary, if you're, you know, were there days where you didn't feel like thanking God, but you did it anyway?
Oh, goodness. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, many days, Rita.
Because I have clients, you know, I work with a lot of eating disorder folks, and there's times where, you know, well, I can't thank God for my body because it's fat and it's disgusting and it's, you know, this, that, and the other. And it's like, well, you know, you just do it anyway, because after you do it enough times, then the scale starts to shift here.
Well, and I've worked a lot with a lot of these eating disorders over the years, and you do what you feel like or not, but you can thank God that you have toes. You can thank God that you can walk, that you can feed yourself. You can thank God that you can go to the bathroom without having someone change your diapers and wipe up for you.
And what does that do after time?
Pardon?
What does that do for you after time?
Well, goodness, the more you start to give thanks for things, okay, you begin to understand, it starts to put the problems in perspective, okay? And perspective is a massive, massive thing for those who are going through difficult times, because it's easy for the problem to obscure the promise, for us to become problem-focused rather than promise-focused.
I love that.
And in fact, that's step three, choose to claim God's promises. But Rita, there's a critical point here that I want to make again. We don't focus on God's promises as a way of ignoring the problem. You know, Christ didn't die and rise again for us to pretend that there aren't problems.
So we have to deal with our problems.
Absolutely. But we look at our problems in light of, or from the perspective of, the promises, okay? So what giving God thanks does, what claiming God's promises does, it helps me realize that these losses weren't the end of the world. That if I couldn't speak again, God would find some other way to use me. In fact, I had a good friend who called me. He said, Gary, I know you can't talk, which he said is kind of a blessing. And then he laughed because he has a good sense of humor. He said, I want you to know something. I've checked into there's a place here in town where I can learn sign language. And I wrote a note, and my wife said, well, what for? And he said, and he choked up as he said this. He said, because you were one of my best friends. He said, you love the Lord, and you have a marvelously warped sense of humor. And he said, I don't want to lose the ability to communicate with you. So he said, if you can't talk anymore, and you have to learn sign language, then I'm going to learn it too, so we can continue to have conversations.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that amazing?
Yeah, yeah.
But see, that's the kind of thing. And so it's not about ignoring our problems, but it's about saying it's not the end of the world. And God's still alive. God is still good. God still has a plan. God still has a purpose. So, see, when we have a problem focus, we have fear and anxiety, and that blinds us to hope. We can't see beyond the immediate. It's like me at the Grand Canyon with my book right in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
But a promise focus gives us faith. It gives us hope. And look at Moses. When Moses focused on the problem Pharaoh, okay, he had no hope. When he focused on the promise, they got out of Egypt. Elijah, you know, and the prophets of Baal. And Elijah said, oh, there's no hope, and I'm all alone. But when Elijah had that God perspective, Joshua and Jericho, there's no way they can defeat Jericho. And if Joshua focused on the problem, they never would have had a victory. So there's so many examples of life where as we change our perspective and claim God's promises. So number one, choose to set your mind on things above. Number two, choose to count your blessings and be thankful. Number three, choose to claim God's promises. And notice these are all choices. And the last one, is sometimes the hardest one, Vita, actually. Choose to obey and act on what you know to be true.
Mm.
And so I could have decided to never speak again, to play it safe, not to risk embarrassment. But again, Christ didn't die and rise again for us to play it safe.
Yeah, that's
huge. Christ didn't leave me here to play it safe.
So we got to be willing to take risks.
Oh, yeah.
If we're going to move forward.
Another friend of mine, some of our listeners will know the story in the Bible of Balaam, a prophet who disobeyed God. And so God spoke to Balaam's donkey, you know, and King James uses a different word for donkey, but, you know. When I was trying to teach myself how to speak and was so discouraged, another friend of mine said, you know, Gary, don't worry about it. You know, if God can speak to Balaam's donkey, he can speak through you. So, I mean, God can use us, and it's not our ability. I mean, I'm living proof of that. It's more about our availability. And so, sovereign joy doesn't destroy or eliminate our pain, our sorrow, or our losses. We can be sad, we can grieve, we can mourn, but that doesn't have to determine our reality.
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
It's a powerful concept.
Yeah.
And the thing that's so powerful is we get to choose about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. We really do get to choose about that.
Romans 8, there's a verse that says, we are more than conquerors. And so many people go through life more than conquered. And they allow the circumstances of life to determine the quality of their life, to rob them of joy. And that doesn't have to be the case. With every loss, with every surgery, and quite honestly, right now, I still have cancer. I'm on a medication that's keeping the cancer from spreading. But almost always, cancer is pretty smart, and it figures out what the medication's doing. And the prognosis for me is that when the cancer figures out what the medication's doing, it will come back with a vengeance. That's what often happens. So each 4 months when I go down to Houston and I have a scan and stuff, I have to be prepared to hear that what there is come back. And even when that happens, that happens. I'm not excited about it. I'm not looking forward to it. But I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God's good and God is sovereign.
Yeah, you said, you know, if you're told again that you only had 3 months to live, there will be some things that will be important and some things that won't be important. What won't be important?
Oh, how my book sales are, how my my speaking calendar. You know, what this has done for me. And I think I've always known this, because relationships, I mean, God's all about relationships. You know, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were in relationships before they created the world.
Yeah.
But it's all about relationships. It's about friends. It's about people. It's about loving and being loved. It's about encouraging. And God has left me here for a season to be a billboard, I hope. And the billboard of my life is that it doesn't matter how dark the valley, how deep the waters, regardless of circumstances, God is good, God is faithful, God is trustworthy.
What will be important to you?
What will be important is that my loved ones, those whose lives I impact, when they have forgotten Gary Oliver, who they knew, or someone who they heard speak, or that guy who talked kind of funny, who had a lot of losses, that when they forget the name, that they remember that God is a good God, that God is real, that God is trustworthy, that Jesus didn't just die and rise again to save us from our sins and from eternal damnation in hell, which is more than we deserve. But Christ died and rose again to make a difference in our lives today. And that no matter what the difficulty or problem, God's promises are true, they're faithful, and they can count on Him.
Wow.
And that's good news.
That's really good news. And, you know, your story did have a happy ending. I mean, you got married again. Your new wife, Linda. You met Linda when?
I met her about 3 years after Carrie died, and I had no plans of getting married again, but my youngest son, Andrew, and knew Linda as the mom of one of his friend's moms, and Carrie had encouraged me to remarry before she died.
Did she really?
And my boys encouraged me, and yeah, God opened that door. I travel probably 2 or 3 times a month to different parts of the country speaking. So I'm not the clear speaker, but, you know, God uses what He can, huh?
Oh, amen. You said one thing you didn't lose, and that's obvious, is your ability to laugh.
When I was in the hospital and I couldn't talk, I had tubes in my nose. I had tubes everywhere. In fact, I had a trach, I had a feeding tube, and tubes are us, you know. And but my wife said there were times when she could tell I was laughing. And
what were you laughing about?
I would remember humorous times. I would remember better times. The doctors could come in and have some questions, or somebody would make a statement. I decided, again, it was another decision. I decided to look for the joy, to look for opportunities to smile, because they're always there. You know, they're always there.
Yeah, it's noticing.
And I made
that.
A choice that I choose to see the cup as half full, not half empty.
Wow.
And life is way too short to take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah.
And I find that people who laugh at themselves and not take themselves too seriously are the most fun to be around.
Mm.
You know? And regardless of whether I'm depressed, anxious, fearful, have an eating disorder, have been abused, regardless of what has happened, the end result is always pain, discouragement, a sense of loss. But when we choose to take whatever our stuff is and put it in light of who God is, of what He's promised, of His character, and listen to people like Johnny Erickson, who have had unbelievable losses, or myself, or others. There's a whole choir of people
mm-hmm.
who have had more losses than most people will ever have. And time again, they say the same thing that I have, that God's a good God. And it's a matter of, with His help, and perhaps with the help of a wise counselor, experienced counselor, qualified counselor, learning how to tap into, choose to apply those four steps that I've mentioned in our conversation. Set your mind on things above. Count your blessings and be thankful. Claim God's promises and obey and act on what you know to be true.
Amen, Gary. Well, we're out of time.
Tell
us how folks can contact you.
Well, I have a website, liferelationships.com. That's our ministry. I'm director of the Center for Relationship Enrichment. I really hope that our time together has encouraged our listeners to see where they are from a different perspective, and maybe to have a refreshed view of who God is and just what a good and gracious God we serve. And that circumstances don't determine our reality. That was determined at Calvary and by an empty tomb, by the fact that we serve our risen Savior.
Oh, Gary, you're an amazing man. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy life to
share. God is thank you for you, for your ministry, for your heart, and for how many people that you allow God to bless through you. I wish you the best.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at ritaschulte.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.